Galatians chapter 6. Good. We're going to begin with verse number 7 and terminate at verse number 10. And before we read this, I'd be remiss if I didn't say something about our young people jamming on the ones and twos. Mountain View has a Facebook page, and I know I miss you. That's why I'm going through. I miss y'all. When I go out of town, I miss Mountain View. I don't care if you miss me or not. I miss y'all. Right? I love you guys. You guys are part of me. I'm busy trying to find out what's going here while I'm preaching somewhere else. I'm ready to come back home. All of you, even if I'm not spoken to you personally. Some of you sit in the same spot, and I check in to see if you're here by looking at the spot you sit in every Sunday. Love you. But those young people did a good job, Greg. They're all on Facebook. And they were gigging it. They were gigging and singing for the Lord. And I see our brother here standing. So if you want to stand, you can stand for the reading of the word since we don't have a formal scripture reading. And we'll start doing this to respect the word of God. When you're at a wedding, when the bride comes down the aisle, everybody stands. When you're at a funeral, when the family comes down the aisle, everybody stands. I think it appropriate and both appropriate and scriptural that we stand for the reading of God's word. Bible says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. Say amen if you believe that. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart in doing good. If you have King James, it might say, grow not weary in doing good. For in due season or in due time, we shall what? Reap. You see how he's using reap again? We shall reap if we do not grow weary or if we faint not. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. You may be seated. Turn to your neighbor and say, harvest happens. That's what I want to talk to you about today. Simply, harvest happens. Now, before we get into the scripture, and of course, Paul wrote the book of Galatians, and he wrote it to a church that was undergoing those who were trying to take the church backwards into legalism, legalistic thoughts of trying to be pleasing to God by your own efforts. And when you do that, you start trusting in your obedience instead of in God's grace. Are you understanding that? To trust in God's obedience means that I feel I'm pleasing to God because I'm doing everything he says. If you were born of a woman, it's too late. You don't qualify to have done everything God says. So we're not trusting our obedience, even though we are obedient. We're trusting God's grace. Even the tallest of us come short of the glory of God. And so that church was being drifted back into some of the legalistic acts of the Old Testament. And Paul writes this. And I'm going to tell you something. This scripture used to scare me. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, usually in my tenure growing up in the church, that was used as a scare tactic. It was a negative thing. It was a negative thing. As a matter of fact, depending on what's fresh on your mind that you have sowed, it can be scary. If somebody says you're going to reap what you sow. Now, I dare to say for a lot of us, we'd start doing mental inventory to figure out what we did wrong. Oh, you're going to reap it. Somebody say, you're going to reap it. Oh, it's coming back to you. You're going to reap it. You start saying, what did I do? But the issue is that this is a harvest principle. Okay? And what I want to show you today, we're going to deal with the harvest principle swiftly. And I want to show you God's intent for this harvest principle. It was never to scare us. Okay? As a matter of fact, the harvest principle was established in a sin-free world. Okay? Write that down. The harvest principle, or the principle of sowing and reaping, was established before sin existed. And if it was established, and since it was established before sin, it had to be something good for man. Are you understanding this? Genesis chapter 1, we're going to move swiftly. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, and you'll have to write some of these scriptures down because we're going to move swiftly. Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 says what?
Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit.
Watch this principle. Here's the harvest principle. God says, let the earth do what?
Sprout vegetation.
Sprout vegetation.
Plants yielding seed.
Watch, here's the harvest principle. Plants yielding seed, read.
And fruit trees on the earth.
And fruit trees on the earth, read.
Bearing fruit after their kind.
Here's the harvest principle. Bearing fruit after their kind. That's the harvest principle. I need you to know that God said this and established this before he made man, which means he established it in a perfect world. And if he established it in the perfect world, being told you're reaping what you sow was not a bad thing because sin had not come into the world yet. It was a principle that Adam was supposed to use to his advantage. God intended us to work the harvest principle for his glory and our good. That's what it's all about. God wanted in his original establishment of the harvest principle, he did it so that man could benefit from the harvest principle. I know we say, I don't know what tomorrow holds, and we don't know what next week holds, but God gives us a certain amount of dominion over what tomorrow can hold. Now, I'm not talking about the intricacies of what might happen and what might not happen, but I'm talking about by the harvest principle, you don't have to wonder what's coming in your garden if you sowed certain seeds. Are you understanding this? God is saying, use this principle. Don't neglect this principle. Don't be afraid of this principle. I created the harvest principle before you messed up. And I created it when the world was perfect. And I created it before you were created, man. And I created it so that you can use this principle and have dominion with this principle. Meaning, if I don't want it to come up in harvest, there's a way I can control it not coming up in harvest. And the way I control it not coming up is by not what? Not planting it. Not planting it. It is the harvest principle, and it transcends man's creation. Number two, I want to tell you that the principle was designed to be harnessed and used. Man was to understand the harvest principle. And let me tell you, I want to teach more than I want to preach slobber and spit on you and raise my leg, because we need to actually understand how the harvest principle works. If you want to harvest good, guess what you got to plant? Good. It's just that simple. Don't think you're going to plant wheat, tare, or weeds and come up with wheat. It doesn't work like that. God has given us power over what we receive in our harvest. He's given us limited power over what we can have going on in our lives by establishing the harvest principle that says, if I can sow it, then I can reap it. However, when sin came into the world, God didn't suspend the principle. What does that mean? He didn't change the principle. He made the principle before sin. He made the principle before man. He made the principle so that we can enjoy utilizing the principle. So when sin came into the world, and we messed up, the same principle kept working, but the seed changed. Are you understanding this? It isn't that you don't reap what you sow. It's just man, when sin came into the world, started sowing different things. And when you start sowing different things, guess what you start harvesting? Different things. In other words, you might, we can complain, we can bicker, we can gripe, we can tussle over, well, what's going on in my life? We can walk around saying, woe is me. But everything is not the result of somebody else's harvest. Are you understanding this? Now, I'm not saying this to be mean or to bash us, but I want to empower us. We can change things in our lives by changing what we plant, by changing what we sow. If you want to change your harvest, change what you're putting down in the soil of your life. Does that make sense? It is the harvest what? Principle. Okay? Now watch this. What God was basically saying is, Adam, I'm going to show you how to get more. I'm going to show you how to get more. I'll tell you, I've fallen in my lifetime, in my younger days, to a whole lot of schemes, right? Pyramid schemes, that schemes. But I'm going to tell you something. If you get on board under me, then what I can do is I can build up. And this is no offense to anybody that's in that. Let me make that disclaimer. You might be in one of those things where if you get in under me, what you have to do is you got to build your left side and your right side. And if you build your left side and your right side, look, you get it overnight. Here's the problem. That doesn't even work with plants. You plant a watermelon seed, you're not about to wake up to some watermelon. You're not about to wake up to some cabbage. You plant cabbage. It doesn't even work like that with nature. Now, you might say, yeah, but I heard of somebody and heard of somebody. You got to understand God's harvest principle. God's harvest principle has it to where your harvest is commensurate to your sowing. Sometimes we see a person's harvest, but we don't know how much they sowed in the field. And sometimes they will promise you their harvest with your level of commitment. It doesn't work like that. God told Adam in the beginning, if you want to make more, this is how you do it. I put the ingredient to more inside of the fruit you're eating. Now you can eat the fruit and throw it away, or you can catch hold to this harvest principle that said what you need to have more is actually in the thing you're enjoying now. Which means that you have to be willing to enjoy it with limitation. Because if you enjoy it totally, you diminish the perpetuation of what you're enjoying right now. So God put the seed in the fruit. He put the key to perpetuating and having more in the fruit so that you sow it and it comes back multiplied. That's the harvest. I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know already, but sometimes we need to be reminded of the harvest principle so that we don't live in this dream world that says, I can harvest something even though I never planted it. Which is the quick way. Which is the get rich quick. All right? Let's see. The Lord did not suspend the harvest because sin, the harvest principle, because sin came in. Harvest happens. When the world was perfect, he said, harvest happens. When Adam and Eve messed up and sin came into the world, guess what? He kept the harvest principle going. It's something he set in place. Harvest will always happen. When sowing goes on, harvest will always happen. I need to get very applicable to you. And I want to talk to the young people. Don't think that you can dichotomize your life and think that what you do now won't pop up in your adult years. Harvest happens. Hello? And watch this. This is not just bad things. This is good things. Don't ignore your opportunity. That's why Paul, back here in Galatians, says, after he says, you reap what you sow, he says, for if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, then of the Spirit you will reap everlasting life. Then he starts telling the church there how to change their harvest. He says, grow not weary in doing well. Don't get tired of sowing good seed. Hello? It gets tiring to love people that hate on you. But you're sowing. It gets tired to help people that don't seem like they appreciate it. It gets tiring to go on the limb for everybody, yet when your time of fatigue and your time of depression and your time of frustration comes, the same people who took from you are not there to support you when you're in need. That gets tiring. But Paul talks about a principle. He's talking about the harvest principle when he says, grow not weary in doing well, for in due season, when the time is right, when that seed dies and germinates and starts producing fruit, you're going to reap if you don't give up. Because harvest happens. Amen? Let's talk a little bit on the harvest principle, and then we'll bring it to a close. Well, the harvest principle was left when God destroyed the world. He left something. Beside Noah and his family, he left the principle. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. I want you to go there. Listen, receive. God has given you a message. He's saying the key to changing your life and changing what's going on in your life is in your hands. Part of it is in your hands. There's part of it in your hands. You complaining, things are not right, I'm down, this is not going right for me, blah, 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 yak, yak, yak. I understand that. And you are completely legitimized if you are planting seed. But if you're not sowing seeds, seeds of kindness, if you only think about yourself and you're only in sowing and you wonder why this is not happening to me and you're hating on everybody that gets an opportunity that you missed, then you are not legitimized. God says, I'm giving you the power to have a better life, to have a better future. But the seed is in your hand. And instead of taking the seed and looking like you already have the harvest, take the seed, don't be married to it, start sowing into other people, and you will find that that will secure part of your future. Look at this. The world was destroyed. Everybody was messed up. The world was evil. And the Bible says, start with verse 21 of Genesis chapter 8. What does the Bible say?
The Lord smelled the soothing aroma.
Okay, so Noah burns a sacrifice to God. God smells the aroma. Read.
And the Lord said to himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man.
Okay, remember that was the first curse on nature. Cursed is the ground because of you, Adam. You sinned. Cursed is the ground because of you. That was what happened in the beginning. In Genesis chapter 8, this is after God said, I'm going to destroy it all. It grieved me that I made them. I'm going to destroy everything. The cursed ground, all of that, I'm going to destroy it. And then, but he says in this verse, in this passage, I'm not going to do that. This is the last time I'm going to do this. I'm never going to destroy it with water. Read what it says.
For the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth.
Genesis 8:22.
While the earth remains.
While the earth remains. Look at God. Remember, he destroyed everything. Everything but Noah and the animals on the ark. But you know what he left when he destroyed the whole world? He left the harvest principle. Look what he says. Read.
Seed time and harvest.
There will always be seed time and what?
Harvest.
Harvest. He left the harvest principle. Why? Because in order for Noah and his family to repopulate and to reproduce in the world, he had to leave the principle that gave them the power to repopulate the world that had been destroyed. The harvest principle is connected to when you're at your lowest point. The harvest principle is connected to where at your point when you don't have anything. If you think you don't have anything, I dare you to use the harvest principle. I don't care if your life feels washed up, if you miss opportunities, if you made mistakes that follow you everywhere you go. God left the harvest principle. And as long as you know how to use the harvest principle, you can get up from any situation, because the principle says, if I got one seed, I have an opportunity to have a whole garden. Does this make sense? He left the harvest principle. He left the harvest principle. Now let's go on. Let's go on. What God can do. Now don't think that. Let me just say this. God is not bound by any principle he gives man. Okay? I need you and I to understand this. God can intercept the harvest while leaving the principle intact. Oh, let me tell you, he is not included in the principle that limits man. What God can do, because he set the harvest principle, he can leave the principle in shape, but he can intercept the harvest. And I'm going to show you this in scripture. Why don't you go to Leviticus? Watch this. Why? Because God is sovereign. He does what he wants to do. He does what he wants to do. He is sovereign. He does whatever he wants to do. He doesn't have to ask us. Once we get it through our head that God is sovereign, we'll understand that when it happened because God let it happen. And we don't have to know the reason to keep serving God. There are a lot of conditional worshipers in the world today. Your worship gets heightened when things are going your way. But when things are not going your way, something happens. You fall off. I'm not going to make it today. Oh, this and that happened. What are you going through? Well, I'm just going through a rough time. It seems to me that if you're going through a rough time, the last thing you need to do is stay away from worshiping God based on the harvest principle. The harvest principle says, if you're going through a rough time, take the seed of worship and plant the seed of worship like Job did, so that you can look up and see everything restored back to you. That is not the time to cut God loose. When you're down to your wits' end, start planting seed. God gave you. The devil can mess with anything, but he cannot mess with the harvest principle. The problem is, we as children of God forget we have that. Yeah, we pray about it. You pray about it. Pray without ceasing. Pray about it. But don't, you know, I just believe that God listens to our prayers while having already given us the answer. Lord, I just need to be healthy. Lord, I'm sick. I got sickness in my body. Went to the doctor. They said this, that, and the other. Use the harvest principle. What are you sowing into your body? That's all the doctor does. Well, there's a big market in the pharmaceutical world based on people that don't practice the harvest principle. You don't want to practice the harvest principle? Take this pill. Hello? Do this if you don't want to practice the harvest principle. But the harvest principle takes patience. Right? Why y'all getting quiet on me?
Go ahead, Pastor. Speak.
Lord, I keep getting hurt in these relationships. Practice the harvest principle. Why are you sowing good seed into bad soil? Y'all don't like me right now, but I love you. I sure do. Watch this. Leviticus. Chapter 26, verse 15 and 16. What does the Bible say?
If instead you reject my statutes,
mm-hmm.
and if your soul...
God says, in spite of my principle, I'm going to leave my principle intact. If you reject my statutes, if you reject me and my word, look what he says.
And if your soul abhors my ordinances,
if you get to where you can't stand what I'm telling you to do, my laws, you become resistant to what I'm telling you. Look what God is. He's talking to Israel while they were in the wilderness. What does the Bible say?
So as not to carry out all my commandments.
And you stop obeying me. Read.
And so break my covenant.
Read.
I in turn will do this to you.
I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do to you. You want, this is God talking to his people in the wilderness. He's talking to the church in the wilderness. He said, this is what I'm going to do. Read.
I will appoint over you a sudden terror.
Uh-huh.
Consumption and fever that will waste away.
I can transcend any principle, and I will let sickness come to you. Read.
And cause the soul to pine away.
I can cause you to go frail and to be sick and to just sicken and wither away. Read.
Also, you will sow your seed uselessly.
Watch this. You will use my principle. Remember, God can intercept the harvest and leave the principle intact. You're going to sow your seed. Read.
For your enemies will eat. Uh-huh.
For your enemy to eat. Now watch this. I'm not going to not let it grow because I set the harvest principle in place. The harvest principle says if you sow it, you'll reap it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to intercept your harvesting of the harvest. And I'm going to let someone else harvest what you have sown. So your enemies will be eaten from what you have sown. What are you saying, God? If you stop trusting me, if you stop obeying me, if you ignore my statutes, if you ignore my word, if you abhor my being obedient to what I told you to do, you're going to use the principle because I set the principle. But what I will do is when your harvest comes, your enemies will come and eat your harvest. Look what else it said. Read.
I will set my face against you.
Uh-huh.
So that you will be struck down before your enemies.
Read.
And those who hate you will rule
over
you.
Go up a verse.
Verse 16.
The verse above what you just read.
I in turn will
do
this to you.
Uh-huh.
I will anoint you over a certain terror.
Uh-huh.
Consumption and fever that will waste away the eyes and
read.
Cause the soul to
read.
Pine away.
Read.
Also, you will sow your seed uselessly.
Uh-huh.
For the enemies will eat it up.
For the enemies will do what? I wonder how many of our enemies, because we stopped trusting God, I wonder how many of our enemies are enjoying what was meant for us. How many of your enemies are enjoying what God designed you to have, but because you stopped trusting him, because you decided to get off of the boat of obedience, because you didn't want his word, because you abhorred and despised his commands, what he did was intercepted your harvest. There are things that the enemy has that's ours. We just sung the song, I'm reaping the harvest God promised me. Take back what the what? The devil can steal your harvest if you disconnect, if you try to use the harvest principle disconnected from God. God transcends the principle. He can intercept the principle. Well, I make good investments. I make good investments because you reap what you sow. I'm sowing, I'm making good investments. I'm making good financial choices. And because I'm making good financial choices, I know I'm going to reap some things in the future. Yeah, you are. You're going to have a harvest, but that doesn't mean you're going to harvest it. The word harvest is both a noun and a verb. Are you understanding this? As a noun, it is a thing. It is what comes in, right? As a verb, you go to get what comes in. That's called harvesting. What comes in will come in. But if you don't keep your eyes fixed on God, if you decide to get disconnected from his will and his way, he will honor the harvest principle, but you won't harvest your harvest. The enemies will eat it. And there's nothing like an enemy enjoying a fruit salad that came from your fruit garden. Oh, God. Let's move on. Let's move on. Y'all quiet. I miss y'all too. We can't override or bypass obedience with God's harvest principle. And repentance is a seed. I know there's somebody in here and you said, I know I've done a lot of bad things. I got it coming. And every time something bad happens to you, you say, I had that one coming. Anybody ever use that? No? Anybody? I guess I had that one coming. I need you to understand that God can intercept the harvest principle and leave it intact. Whether that's sending the enemies to take your good harvest or sending the locusts to eat your bad. Remember, God is sovereign. So if God wants to take all of the bad harvest you got coming and send the locusts to eat it, because we always think in the other side, the negative. Yeah, I know he'll send the enemy to eat my harvest. Yes, but you got some bad harvest out there. Some of you didn't get half of what you deserve because somebody else bore your bad harvest. And this is why we should be grateful, because the principle, the harvest principle, will either work for you or it'll work against you. Thank God his grace lets it work for us. Because once we start planting seeds of repentance, guess what repentance produces? It produces fruit. There's a thing called the fruit of repentance. When you decide, yes, I made some bad decisions. I made some bad choices. I sinned. I dwelled in iniquity. I did things I know I had no business doing. This, that, and the other. The harvest is going to happen. But God can intercept any harvest. Are you understanding this? There's nobody in here that's receiving in their life exactly what you deserve. I don't care what's going on in your life. That's not the half of what you deserve. Hello. Hello. Do inventory in your own mind and think of all the places you've gone and all the things you said and all the decisions you made that were not right. And think about how blessed you are. At some point you decided, I'm done with this. Lord, I'm coming home. And what God did oftentimes is he set some enemies and some locusts. And he allowed your good seed to choke your bad harvest. Let me share something with you about agriculture. You do know that while we admire what's under the ground and the beauty that's on top of the ground and the productiveness that's on top of the ground, you do know that there's war beneath the soil. That's war. That's why it's not pretty when you pull a plant out and turn it upside down. That's the war part. The war is under the soil. Our God is not just an on top of the soil God. God will go beneath the soil of your life and fight for you in ways you don't even know he's fighting for you. There was somebody out to get you, but they got tired of looking for you and they got sick. And now the person that committed themselves to taking you out is laid up in a bed sick. God was fighting for you and you didn't even know it. You've been driving 2 weeks with a nail in your tire. The nail was sown. The harvest should be a car wreck. But God was fighting for you under the soil, and you didn't even know he was fighting for you. You got a job you know you don't qualify for. You decorated your resume and made you yourself look qualified for it. You hung bells and whistles and you ornaments on your resume, knowing deep down inside there were certain questions you prayed they wouldn't ask. You went to the interview and left the interview saying, well, I might as well keep going. I didn't get that. But God was in the executive office fighting beneath the soil for you, because he's not just a sovereign God. He's a merciful God. Okay. Oh, God. Oh, God. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. And so what you have here is the seed of repentance. Now watch this. I want you to go to Joel. Now, if you're a regular Bible reader, you're familiar with Joel. But if you need to study your Bible more, let me tell you, it's right before Amos. And right after Hosea. Now, some of you don't need that because you got the automatic Bibles. Press a button, get there. The disadvantage you'll be at is you'll be study stuck if your battery dies. So every now and then, even though you got a nice automatic with a grip and sights, familiarize yourself with a revolver. Somebody don't, you'll get it at home. Your phone is automatic. This book, a hard copy, is a revolver. Revolvers don't jam. A phone call doesn't show up in the middle of a revolver. Okay. I think y'all got what I'm saying. But I want you to read Joel chapter 1. And I want to show you something. Start with verse number 4.
What the knowing locust has left.
So Israel is going through a famine. I need to tell you, the harvest principle, when it's not working for you, and there are things devouring your blessing, devouring your harvest, it triggers a famine. Okay? This famine was different. Famines lasted basically not that long. It was not extended. But Israel here in the book of Joel was in a strange kind of famine. It was a famine that God allowed. And I'm going to show you how it was a stacked up famine. Look at the text here. And I want you to really think about this. The text says what?
What the gnawing locust has left, the swarming locust has eaten.
Whoa. I don't know if anybody has ever been in a situation when you think it's over, the sequel comes. Look, what else? Read.
And what the swarming locust has left, the creeping locust has eaten.
What? Mm. God is telling them to throw. No, God meant this famine. And the way you get in a period of famine, not having it, is when your harvest is attacked. That causes famine. Right? Read.
And what the creeping locust has left, the striping locust has eaten.
Whoa. Now, I want you to understand this. In the King James Version, it says it used locusts first. That word locust comes from a root word which means multitude. Right? Watch how one thing leads to another. Multitude. They came in large swarms and multitude. Now, when the locust would eat the top parts of a crop, of the wheat, the impregnated locusts would drop their babies to the bottom. So what you have is you have the locust, and that next group is called, another word for it is cankerworm. You know why it's called cankerworm? Because what a cankerworm is, it's the larvae of a grown locust. So while the locust is eating your blessing on top, it's leaving eggs at the bottom. So your blessings are going away from the top down and from the bottom up. I want you to see the condition that Israel was in. Then you had what was called the caterpillar. And the caterpillar just cut things off. It just ate and separate and severed, right? Just like they do today. And then finally you had the palmer worm. And the palmer worm's thing was to devour. So you had all of this attacking their crop. And you can get to a place where you've sown some good things. But if you're not committed to staying with God, you'll find that your blessings are being eaten from different directions. Hello? I talk about giving because Malachi 3:11 says, this is what I'll do if you bring the tithe to my storehouse. And nowadays, people have a low tolerance for churches and giving. I get it. You see something on the news, see some stuff on Facebook, and everybody tends to think, well, they just giving to the preacher. You ain't giving to me. You are not giving to me. I am bivocational. You're giving to the work, okay? But that's a whole nother story. But God said, if you start bringing the tithes into the storehouse, this is what I'll do. I will rebuke the devourer. Now, you got to understand that all of that, the cankerworm is also called the devourer. What does it mean for him to rebuke the devourer? What he's saying is, I'll stop what's taking your blessing from reproducing. There are certain things you don't want to reproduce in your life. You don't want trouble reproducing in your life. Hello? If you kill a Goliath, you don't want his sons coming after you. Like in the life of David. God says, I'll stop it. I'll stop it from replicating. I'll rebuke the devourer. I'll hold back the things that are taking the good things out of your life if you put me first. Does that make sense? And what is the seed sown to turn that around? Joel chapter 2, verse 25.
Then,
we're almost done. Read.
Then I'll make up to you for the years that the swarming locust has eaten.
What I'm going to do, since I sent those, I'm going to give you those years back. I don't care how much you've messed up in here. I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands. I know that all of us have made some terrible decisions. I know all of us live with something we regret, something we wish, some decision we wish we didn't make, something we did, something we got involved in. And it's really hard when, watch this, when the bad harvest that came in 10 years ago, it's starting to produce bad harvest now. Some of us, a locust got a hold to us 10 years ago. But it dropped a canker worm. And so the stuff you're dealing with now is residual. Has anyone ever had a residual tribulation? I mean, it's fresh right now, but it happened 5 years ago. It's fresh right now, but it happened 15 years ago. It's fresh right now, but it happened in your childhood. God says, if you repent, if you turn to me, I will give you those years back. Those years when you should have been productive. Those years when you were busy comparing yourselves to others, saying, I should be a lot further than I am right now. Based on my peer group. Those years that make you say, man, I could have did this, that, and the other. God says to Israel, if you turn back to me, I will give you back all the years that the locust took. In other words, I'm going to let you reap the harvest I promise you and take back what the devil took from you. I've come to tell you, as we bring this plane down for a landing in our text, when Paul says to the Galatians, you know, he says, do good to all men, right? Especially they into the household of faith. He's still using the harvest principle. Here's the problem. You say it's hard to do good to all men. Any of you ever know anybody that's hard to be good to? And don't be looking around in here trying to give signals. Yeah, amen. Amen. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't use that. This is not take pop shots. It's hard to be good. Here's the problem. The problem is your enemy may not always be your enemy. So bless your enemy. Oh, y'all missing that. Y'all missing that. Bless your enemy, because you may be investing in your enemy to give back to you when your enemy becomes your friend. Oh, y'all don't understand that? Israel was slaves for 430 years. When they left Egypt, you know what they took for with them? Everything they had sown into Egypt. They had everything they needed because they were investing and sowing into Egypt as slaves. Love you. Do good to all men. Number one, you never know who you're doing good to. I have this suit that I wear when I travel. My daughters call it my airport suit. And whenever I have that suit out, their first question is, Daddy, where are you going? Right? And I do that, right? Because I notice that people kind of treat you different based on how you dress. But we should not have that attitude. You don't know who you're talking to. Because I walk right past people in first class with jeans and a t-shirt. And they sitting in first class. So don't use what you can see. Be good to all men. Mountain View, we need to learn that harvest principle. Be good to everybody. Even as a congregation, don't just group up with the people you're familiar with. If you see somebody you don't know, be good. Sow into somebody's life. Why? Especially those of the household of faith. Why are you saying that in verse number 10, Paul? I'm saying that in verse number 10, JK, because of what I said in verse number 7. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sow, that shall he always also reap. And since you're going to reap what you sow, you ought to sow and good into all men, especially they of the house. Do you see how he's using it? He's using it in a positive way. He's saying, since you have to live by the harvest principle, get busy sowing good into people's lives. Let it not be that you have the posture of a receiver, but you can never give. Give. Help somebody along the way. Take the time to encourage somebody that's down. You never know how far that goes. You'll look up one day and get a card from somebody at just the right time, and you'll wonder, who is this person? And they'll remind you, remember when you talked to me for a few moments and you helped me along? You done forgot about it. Let me tell you, the beauty of sowing is you can forget about it. Just sow it and forget about it. The Lord will bring you to the place in due time that you forgot of, and you'll be eating fruit from something you have sowed that you've long forgotten about because you use the harvest principle. We understand that in life. Understand that spiritually. Because the very gospel that we preach is based on the harvest principle. You talking about the gospel? I'm saved. I'm sanctified. And a lot of people are saying they're saved and had no contact with the gospel. It's just popular to say, I'm saved. It's just popular. If you go to church, I'm saved. No. You got to come through the gospel. And the gospel is a harvest principle. In John chapter 12, we're not going to read it. But in John chapter 12, what verse is that?
12.
23 and 24. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, except the seed dies and it's buried and sprouts out, there will be no harvest. The seed has to die. And if you can't let go of your seed of bitterness, if you can't let go of your seed of blessing, if you stingy with your seed, guess what? You're going to be hungry during harvest. And some of us are hungry during harvest because we didn't take the time to invest in somebody else, to encourage somebody else, to help somebody else along the way. It's not always about money, but sometimes it is. Sometimes you got to sow and you got to just leave it alone. Just like investing. Those of us who are financially astute, you know the way it works with investing is you put the money in and leave it alone. You come back years later and the money done multiplied. We understand that with investing, but that works with people. Just keep sowing into people. Stop giving up on people so easily. God didn't give up on you. If he'd have gave up on you, you wouldn't be here right now. God kept sowing into you and sowing into you, even though you didn't deserve it. He sowed and sowed and sowed. You had a mom that sowed into you. You had a dad that sowed into you. A friend that would never leave you, even though everybody else thought you would amount to nothing. A brother, a sibling sowed into you, and eventually you became the multiplication of what they sowed into you. Learn how to sow, for the gospel principle is that Jesus died, and they couldn't have left him on a cross because the seed died and had to be buried. And the reason why there are so many Christians today is we are the multiplication of what was sown into the earth over 2,000 years ago. I'm a Christian, Christ-ian. Because without Christ, that means without Christ, I ain't nothing. Christ, I-A-N, right? That's the only joke you're going to get today. Because 2,000 plus years ago, God came in flesh and said, I'll die on the cross. Bury me. Bury me. Tear down this tabernacle. And in 3 days, the incubation period for salvation took 3 days. And when he got up, a conquering king, he got up so that we can follow in his footsteps. And that's why we're Christians today. Stand to your feet. This first appeal is if you're not a Christian, you can jerk your head back and say you're saved. But if you don't obey the gospel, you're not saved. I'm sorry. I don't want to be a bearer of bad news. You're not saved. And those who obeyed the gospel, they heard the message of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection, and they submitted obedience by having their own death, burial, and resurrection. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Don't walk out of here thinking you're saved based on what somebody told you. You believe it, you repent of your sins, you change your mind. Remember, the fruit that comes from repentance can choke out the harvest that came from sin. And you repent and you confess. What's going to happen is you're going to walk down these aisles. You're going to come take a seat here, and you're going to sit down. You're going to fill out what your desire is or share your desire with whoever's coming to you to tend to you. You're going to let them know, I want to be saved, and I want to be baptized for the remission of sins. Remember, without burial, there's no resurrection. A seed has to be buried in order for fruit to come. And you'll never look like Jesus if you've never been buried, because Jesus was buried. And you have to be buried today. You have to be born again today. And this is your opportunity today. We don't have a baptism Sunday because you might have faith today. Because we know that the devil can intercept some things. He can intercept your harvest. You can say, well, I'm going to wait till next week or 2 weeks from now. I'm going to go on this quick vacation. I'm going to turn up a little bit. And then I'm going to take Jesus serious. You make a dangerous assumption. You make the assumption that time is your friend. Time is not your friend. Just look at many of these saints in here who used to have full heads of hair and black hair. Thank God for paint. Y'all laughing, right? Thank God for apparatuses that can make us look younger. Truth be told, if we let it show, no, time is not our friend. But we can make time our friend by making good decisions. If you're here and you need prayer, and you're thinking about things you have sown, and you're a little concerned about where your harvest is going, give it to God. Start sowing. We'll pray for you today that you start sowing fruits of repentance. Now, guess what? It doesn't matter what I've learned. And this church has been under scrutiny for a long time. I get tired because your enemies will make up things, right? And then people that already don't want to like you will get on board. Because all people need to officially not like you is an inkling of a reason. But I trust God. But it does not matter what kind of seed people call you if your fruit says otherwise. They can call you ghetto. You start producing fruit that helps people. Ghetto seeds, or they can call you angry. You're just shysty. They can call you shysty. But the same people that mislabeled your seed will come back looking for something to eat from your garden.
Yes.
God vindicates. So you just sow what God has given you. Amen. And we can pray for you. Maybe there's somebody sick. I need everybody in here to pray. We're not even going to have a song. We're just going to break off like into groups. We need to pray together. Pray for Bishop Gay. He's in the hospital. And I don't know if I should be announcing this, but I'm announcing it for prayer's sake. I cried like a baby on the way to worship this morning, thinking about what's going on, our leadership. You know, we lost some leaders. And I look at how paternal our elders are. And most of these men I've been with for 18 years, they've been very fatherly. They respected the vision God gave me. And I'm starting to see, what are you doing, Satan? Satan can't do anything that's outside of God's control.
Amen.
Sorry. Don't give the devil more credit than he's due. If he does something, he's got to get a warrant to. Don't you know the devil has to get a warrant to arrest your finances? He has to petition God. I need a warrant. I want to tie up his money. I want his car repoed. I want his house foreclosed on. Lord, I guarantee you, he's going to leave you. Let's not make the devil a truth sayer. He's a liar. Let's leave him that way. Let's leave him. So pray for him and pray for little Harold and all the people that are sick. So, but if you need to come, we want you to come right now. If you need to come, maybe you have questions. I have questions about being baptized. You come right now. Come right now. Don't think that you can go on unsaved forever. It's not going to work. It's not. You don't get to live an unsaved life and go to heaven. I don't care what these rap artists talk about. Because rap artists will make you think, you know, yeah, I want Lil Pookie, big up. I know he's in heaven looking down. No. If Lil Pookie did not obey the gospel, and even if he did, nobody goes to heaven first. We wait for the second coming of Christ. So no, our young people are being fed this, that you can smoke weed every other day and sag your pants and spit on people and threaten people and carry guns and threaten people with guns and just be all hood and shiesty and do things and go around trying to multiply your own seed without the commitment of a garden. It don't work like that. You don't get to be however you want to be and then say, Lord, I'm your child. No. You're Adam's child. You're Adam's kid. Adam sinned. He brought death and condemnation. If you want to be God's child, you got to be born again. So if you want to be born again, maybe you don't want to do it in front of this crowd. I'm an introvert. I don't want all those people looking at me. They don't see. My shirt might slip up in the water. I might fall back. It'll be embarrassed. And there's no commandment that says you have to be baptized in front of the whole congregation. You want to talk to us after? You can talk to us after. So this is what we're going to do right now. We're going to have the praise leaders sing softly a song. Sweet Hour of Prayer. Do you all know that? Danny, you know that? Good to see Danny Land from Alaska. I want you to start breaking off in groups right now. This is going to be the dismissal. And I remember, so good. Be good to all men. Small groups, please. Small groups. Find a group. Find a small group. And somebody pray in that group. And guess what? Share what you need prayer for. Share what you need prayer for.